Masechet Sanhedrin, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Aleph. Mishnah says, Dine mamonot bishlosha. Any type of situation that deals with money, you need a bet din of three judges in order to deal with it. How do we choose the three judges for the bet din? Ze bored lo ehad, ve ze bored lo ehad. One of the people involved chooses the first judge. The second person involved chooses the second judge, and then both people together, they decide who's going to be the third judge to deal with the situation. This is Divrei Rabbi Meir, the opinion of Rabbi Meir. V'achamim omrim, the rabbis say, Shene hadayanim boredin lahen odehad, say the hachamim. It's not the people involved in the court case, but after each one of them chooses a judge, those two judges together pick the third judge who's going to be on the bet din with them. This is called zabla. Ze bored lo ehad, ze bored lo ehad, zayin bet lamed aleph. That means this one chooses for himself, showing that each one of them is going to pick a judge. Could the people involved here reject the judges that the other person picks? Ze posel dayano shel ze, veze posel dayano shel ze. One of the people involved could disqualify the judge that the other person selected, and the other person who was involved in this situation could disqualify the judge that the first person chose to be on the Bet Din, Divrei Rabbi Meir. This is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. He could basically disqualify him if he thinks that he's not knowledgeable enough in the halakha. But a regular judge that is qualified, everyone knows, even Rabbi Meir would say, cannot disqualify him. Hachamim omrim. Hachamim say, no, when is the only time you could disqualify a judge? Bizman shemivi alehen re'aya, shehen kerovin o pesulin. Only when he brings a proof that the judges are related to one of the parties involved, one of the people involved in the case, or that they would be ineligible to serve on a bet din because they're disqualified for another reason, which we'll bring up in Mishnah Gimel and Dalet. There's reasons that a person can't serve on a bet din, which we'll get into. So that's the only time somebody can disqualify one of the judges from being on a bet din. Aval im hayu kesherim o mumhin, but if the judge involved here was kosher, kasher, he was eligible, or he was even an expert, the person involved cannot disqualify this judge from being on the bet din. The next discussion of the Mishnah will be a machloket between Rabbi Meir and Hachamim if someone involved could disqualify the other person's witnesses who are coming to testify. Says the Mishnah, Ze posel edav shel ze, veze posel edav shel ze, divrei Rabbi Meir. One person involved could disqualify the witnesses of the other person, and the other person involved can come and disqualify the witnesses brought by the first person. This is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Comments the Gemara, though, on this. It says, this halakha is applied very specifically to where one person involved claims he has two groups of witnesses who are coming to testify for him. After the first group of witnesses show up, that second party involved, that second person involved, he could bring another witness with him and they could testify to disqualify those witnesses who just showed up. In this situation, when they're being disqualified, it doesn't really make a major impact because a second set of witnesses are set to come and testify against him. So he only has the ability to disqualify them if he's claiming, for example, that they're relatives, in the event that there are plans to have two sets of witnesses come testify against him. So he doesn't have anything to gain over here by disqualifying those first witnesses, so therefore we believe him about his testimony when he's saying that they should be disqualified. But the Hachamim disagree. V'Hachamim omnim ematai. Hachamim say, when can one party involved, one person involved, disqualify the witnesses of another? Bizman shehu mevi alehem re'aya, shehen kerovim o pesulim. Only when he brings an actual proof. His testimony is not enough. He has to bring proof that they're either related to each other, or that they're related to one of the people involved in the case, or that they would be not eligible to testify for another reason. Avalim hayu kesherim eno yachol leposlam. But if they're eligible to testify, he doesn't have the ability to disqualify them through his testimony. Say the Hachamim over here, that he would be biased against them regardless. Because even though generally him disqualifying them won't have a major impact because another group of witnesses will show up. There are situations where disqualifying these set of witnesses would help him. For example, even though he said he was bringing two sets of witnesses to testify, let's say only one showed up and he disqualified those witnesses that just showed up. And now two more who were supposed to come never came. So he does gain, possibly in a rare circumstance, by disqualifying these two witnesses. So therefore, Hachamim say he doesn't have the ability to disqualify them based on his testimony alone. He has to actually bring proof for what he's claiming. Masechet Sanhedrin, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Bet. There are certain people who cannot serve as judges because they're relatives of the people involved, also people who are not learned, Ami Ha'aretz, people who don't have the wisdom needed to be a judge, are ineligible, they cannot serve as judges. But if both people involved in the case agree that they would accept their verdict, then we do allow them to serve as judges. Here the Mishnah will tell us that in certain circumstances, somebody involved has the right to remove or withdraw his agreement after the Gemar Din, after the bottom line Psak Halakha has been given by the judges. Mishnah says, Amar lo, if one of the people involved in the case said to the other, Ne'eman alai abba, my father is acceptable to me as a judge, even though he's my relative, Ne'eman alai avicha, or your father is acceptable to me as a judge, even though he's your relative, or Ne'emanin alai shelosha ru'i bakar, three shepherds are acceptable to me as judges, even though these shepherds are not fit to be judges because they're not learned in the halacha. Rabbi Meir omer yachol lachzor bo, says Rabbi Meir that the person who agreed could go back on his verdict and insist that eligible, worthy judges go and handle the situation and retry the case. Says the Gemara over here that this ruling only applies where the judge ruled against the defendant, and now the defendant has to pay money. He's required to pay money. So in that case, the Bimeir would allow the defendant to withdraw his acceptance of that judge and refuse to pay until they retried the case. So only when you're removing money from the defendant, he's being sued by somebody else, and you're removing money from him, he could then go back and say, no, I didn't want to choose that judge, and you could retry the case. We want to make sure that we're taking money away from somebody only when there's a clear 100% certainty that things are happening correctly. We don't want an excuse later on of theft because the judges were improper. Hachamim disagree with the opinion of Rabbi Meir. They say, once the verdict has been handed down, you can't go back on your agreement. A similar machloket between Rabbi Meir and the Hachamim. If one person made an oath, he made a swear to the defendant in order to collect the disputed money, Be'amar lo, and he told him, the defendant said to him, Dor li b'chayei roshecha, if you swear to me by the life of your head that your claim is true, I'm going to pay you. Basically, the person who they were trying to remove money from, the defendant will call him, said, if you swear to me that I owe you the money, on your head, I'm going to pay you the money. This is a weaker type of swear than we normally have in regular cases. We make the person hold on to a Sefer Torah and swear on the name of Hashem. And here the defendant is allowing the other person who has the claim against him to get away easy. He's saying, you swear in your own head, but not in Torah, not with the name of Hashem. He's letting him get away with a weaker type of swear. So therefore, Rabbi Meir Omer, Yachol Lachzor Bo, says Rabbi Meir, the defendant can later on, even after that swear is made against his own head, the defendant here could go back and say, no, I want a regular type of swear happening with the Torah, with the name of Hashem. I'm not going to pay you just because you made a swear based on your own head. Hachamim say, no, once the defendant agreed that type of swear was enough, he cannot go back on his word, and he has to pay him the money. He can't then reverse things once the swear has already been made.